John Patrick Maloney, all of us who love to garden, and I do, and spend immense amounts of time there, go into that garden with the absolute assurance that this will be my last time before I get Lyme disease. And I know you've been very concerned about this. How come?
Well, listen, and nobody lives in our part of the world that doesn't know somebody who's had Lyme disease, that doesn't worry about their kids when they go outside and they're playing in the tall grass. Where I live in Putnam County, it's a terrible problem. If you talk to the guys who run a lawn service business or a tree cutting business, they've all had it. You ask them how many of their employees have had Lyme disease, they'll say everybody. I have young families come up to me, young couples who say, you know, their lives have been really, really rocked back and forth by this thing. You know, young couples who can't have children, people who are dealing with long-term health problems. It's an awful disease, and it's pernicious, and we have never taken it seriously enough. So what people should know is that working in a bipartisan way with Congressman Chris Gibson and others, we passed the most important federal Lyme legislation I think that's ever been written. It's part of the America Cures Act, which is an important piece of legislation that just passed the House a couple months back, provides almost $10 billion over the next 5 years to a bunch of diseases, and streamlines the way we do a lot of things at the federal level to get cures developed faster, including for Lyme disease, where we will create for the first time a federal plan on this, a lead agency, a plan of action that has to be submitted to Congress within a definite period of time. And we will, for the first time, I think, legitimize Lyme disease in the minds of a lot of practitioners and researchers who far too often have not taken this seriously enough. And we know that people who suffer from this have had trouble getting insurance coverage. We know that people who are suffering have had trouble getting antibiotics for sufficient periods of time. That's why a lot of us worked to change the state law on that last year. And part of this is just taking Lyme disease seriously. It's terrible that folks have to fight the disease and, you know, fight these bureaucracies who won't cover them with insurance, who won't get them the treatments they need. We're fixing that.
Is there anything political, and with in quotes, about Lyme?
Well, not to me. I mean, I don't know what a Democratic or Republican way to fight tick-borne disease would be. I think we all have to believe in research and science, and we have to follow that science. The good news about Lyme disease, of course, is that you're talking about a bacterial infection that can be pretty effectively cured with early intervention. So if you get the right treatment early, you know, you can stop it in its tracks. So prevention is very important on this. You know, everybody listening probably already knows this, but, you know, if you have a bullet rash, if you've been outside, if your kids have one, you know, you got to get it checked out. If you find a tick on you, you may just want to go to the doctor. You know, one course of doxycycline is 100% prophylactic within 72 hours. There are effective early treatments. The danger is that people don't get treated early, and the infection spreads throughout their body and can become a chronic condition, which is very serious.
And don't even know that they have it sometimes.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's not always the case that you see the tick. It's not always the case that you have a bullet rash. The normal symptoms would include fatigue and aches in your joints, but they can vary pretty widely. So if you have been working outside, you do want to check yourself when you come in. It's just common sense.
Yep.
And Alan, I'm available for fresh fruits and vegetables if you're spending time in a garden, because I love to cook and I'm very good at eating.
Huge amounts of time. Okay, let's talk about Hillary and Biden. You know,
sure.
I know you've been a Clintonian in the past.
Right.
I know you've supported her. But, you know, if you read the New York Times or the Washington Post, they've got all these polls in them now, which show disastrous problems for her, particularly interestingly, as we speak today, about women and women drop off in their support of Hillary. What do you make of it?
Well, you know, I saw James Carville on TV, and he had a good line. He said, "Finding a nervous Democrat is about as hard as finding a drunk in the French Quarter in New Orleans." And I think that Democrats tend to get nervous about a lot of stuff. I think everybody ought to take a deep breath. I mean, if you look at what's going on, it doesn't surprise me when you've got a front runner that there's going to be a significant group of voters that are looking for somebody else, or who feel like a different edge of the ideological spectrum. In Bernie Sanders' case, the left wing is where they want to, you know, press issues and make sure things that they care about are part of the conversation. All of that's pretty normal. I don't think Hillary Clinton's going to lose the nomination to Bernie Sanders. I just don't. I think she's been working her whole life on issues that matter to people. She's out there talking about very important issues in terms of how we lessen income inequality, how we help families with things like paid family leave, you know, how we do things like fight the heroin epidemic, which is a terrible problem in our area. You know, real solutions that matter to people, you know, when they're having dinner with their kids around the kitchen table, cost of college, how we're going to afford that. You know, I think in the end, those things matter more. And she's the best. She's the best candidate we got. She'll be a terrific president.
And what about Joe Biden coming in? Do you expect that to happen?
You know, I don't know. I don't know that anybody knows. I'm very fond of Joe Biden. I've spent a lot of time with him. I've been lucky enough to be in a lot of meetings with him in my short time in Congress. I think the guy, you know, really cares about the middle class. I think he cares about a lot of important issues. But I don't think he adds a lot to the equation in terms of this Democratic primary. And I don't know that he could win the nomination. And I think it'd probably be better for him and the party if he didn't run. But that's his decision.
Can Bernie Sanders win the nomination?
I don't think so. But, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. I'd be very surprised.
This is a guy who a lot of people have said, you can't do this and you can't do that. And he's done it. So makes me scratch my head.
No, that's right. I mean, look, you know, he's raising important issues. I mean, you know, this isn't some magic trick. And it certainly isn't about, you know, the charisma of a 73-year-old guy from Vermont. It is about talking about things in politics that matter in people's lives. I think what I hear from people is they're sick to death of the nonsense in politics and all this kind of insider stuff and these people in Washington who think they're smarter than everybody else, who think it's all a game. What's going on is that people don't think this thing is working very well, and they're right. It's busted. It's rigged for people, you know, different than they are. You know, when they think about sending their kids to college or planning for retirement or paying the deductible on their health insurance plan, I think they are understandably concerned that nobody in Washington is focused on those kinds of issues. Money is killing our politics. Only the powerful and the wealthy are being heard far too often. And so they want somebody to shake it up, and I think that explains a lot of what you're seeing out there in the presidential primaries. They want somebody who has their interests at heart, who understands what their problems are, who's doing this stuff to make their lives better. And so naturally they're looking to outsiders and new voices. But I think when all the dust settles and all the kind of shouting's over, Hillary Clinton is the most qualified person to be president, who's going to advance all the issues of the middle class and working people that I care about, and that can keep what's good about what we've been doing recently in terms of building a more inclusive and more just society, while also getting this economy growing and making it work for everybody again. That's why I'm supporting her.
Sean Patrick Maloney, we only have a minute and 35 seconds. I know you've been very concerned about the plight of veterans in this country. Are things getting better?
Well, we're making some progress on things like disability claim wait times, but they were, you know, appallingly long. And so, you know, we're getting back to where we should be, but it was bad for a while. We have not had the kind of problems we've seen in access to care here in the Hudson Valley that we've had elsewhere, but if it happens anywhere, it shouldn't be going on. We are doing some good things in terms of trying to extend disability benefits to folks in the Blue Water Navy and who were affected by Agent Orange in Vietnam. My office has helped more than 800 veterans one at a time. If people are having a problem with the VA or anything with their benefits, please reach out to my office or reach out to your congressman. If I'm not your congressman, or even if I'm not your congressman, call my office. We'll help you because you shouldn't have to fight for your country, come home and, you know, fight your government. There are things we're doing that affect a lot of people who served, like the James Zadroga bill for the health care of first responders who worked on the pile or worked in Lower Manhattan, who have very serious health effects. You know, I'm one of the original co-sponsors of reauthorizing that. We need to make it permanent so people don't have to worry about their health care being there if they were one of the heroes who responded on 9/11. There's a lot we're doing. You know, we need to make sure that we continue to work the problems of PTSD, traumatic brain injury, veterans' homelessness. We've brought back several $1 million for homelessness programs in the Hudson Valley that help our veterans. There's a lot of work to do, and it's got to be a long-term commitment. We've created a lot of new veterans in the last 10 years, and the 99% of us who didn't have to go and fight have a sacred duty to support and protect those that did.
Sean Patrick Maloney, always great to talk to you, and you're so kind to show up and to talk to us the way that you do. When we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you something else.
Look forward to it.